we're preaching and teaching the book of Acts from the Greek New Testament, not to show off or anything, but to bring out some of the beautiful jewels from God's Word that are so deeply hidden sometimes. We're reading the book of Acts from the Koine Greek language and translating it into English with the grammar. And we'll read the Amplified Bible afterwards also. Now, we're in a very interesting part of the Bible where God is grafting in Gentiles into the economy of God. He is actually saving the unsavable as far as Israel was concerned. The gospel has gone to the dogs. God has turned his back on Israel for rejecting him. Now, God's not finished with them because of the Abrahamic and the Davidic covenants. Israel will have a part in the economy of God over here in the kingdom. 1,000-year millennial kingdom upon the earth. And people say, well, the word millennium is not in the New Testament at all, or in the Old Testament, but it talks about a 1,000-year. Now, in the Latin Bible, it is millennium, and we get our word millennium from millennium. It's chelia ater in Greek. Now, let's go and let's begin to read about the salvation, saving Gentiles. God is saving the Gentiles. A no people. You who are no people, now God has grafted into the economy of God. Anoxos de Petros to stoma, epen f alithias, kara lambanomai, hote uk esten, proso ple mtes. Hotheos. And having opened up, it says, his mouth, Peter, having opened up his mouth, stoma. I think we get our word stomach from that word, which the mouth is the door to the stomach. Having opened up his mouth, he said, upon a truth, a long time ago, they used to say, upon my word and honor. And that's another way for saying this. Many of the Indians, when they spoke of old, and it's carried over into some of the old type traditional Indians today, they will say, truth. This is truth. This is the truth. And that's exactly what Peter is saying here. He said, upon truth. The word is aletheos there. And the word aletheos means no shadow. Now, in this auditorium here, we have lights pointing at me. So you can see the background of the charts and everything. In a movie, when they do a movie, there cannot be a shadow unless they want it. Out in the Alabama Hills, basically a little less than 100 miles from here, where they did a lot of Western movies and Gunga Din and all of those, they had reflectors reflecting the sun and lights all over the place. When an actor was out there, there couldn't be a shadow on anything unless they wanted it for emphasis. I was in two movies, big time, Stallions, and Charlie Varrick. I was playing an Indian, which I am. I had long braids at that time, though. And I drove up to the Charlefont Cafe over there and restaurant and gas station and everything. I was going to get some gas. I usually got that. This was back in the 1980s, I think. And I drove up there, and they had the whole place covered up with tents, a black tarp. And inside, there were lights all over the place. I walked up there, and Doug DeGrazio, which lives down in the south end of Fish Lake Valley now, he was a director of that movie, Sally. And he told his director, the assistant director, to go get me. He wanted me in that movie. So he went and picked me out, and he said, would you volunteer to stand behind Rip Torn, the star in the movie? We have a very important part for you to play. We need somebody that looks like you and dress like you and who you are. So I signed a piece of paper saying that I was signing away my rights of money, and I stood behind Rip Torn, and I stood there. And he grunted and grumbled and going on for a while. They did a lot of different takes and everything. They told me the movie was going to be called Stallions. I don't have even a copy of that piece of paper. But Doug, later on, he didn't know who I was. We talked on ham radio. And I was talking one night, and I said, I was in a movie over there called Stallions. And he said, wait a minute. He said, I had something to do with that movie. He said, say what you said again. I said, I was in that movie. I said, the director came out, or somebody assistant to the director came out and told me to come in and stand behind the star. And I had to sign a piece of paper. He said, oh, yes, you were the star of that scene. Well, I went in there and I stood there with all these bright lights in every direction. There were no shadows. Aletheia. No shadows anywhere. They had lights everywhere. I stood in that scene. And Doug later on rehearsed to me why I was the star of that scene. Rip Torn had come through there in an old pickup. He was out there. He pulled out the dipstick out of the crankcase and it was empty. No oil on it. The radiator was spewing and had no water in it. And the hood up out there. And he's out here lost in this situation, far from anything. Look up and down the road, you see nobody coming or going in any direction. And then he says, we have the audacity of putting an Indian in the movie. That this is his native ground. He's not lost. If and if his car broke down or whatever else, he's got in control. And so I stood behind the victim of the wilds, and I am the champion of the wilds. I didn't know that when I did it at all. I had no reason, no idea what they had me to do there. But truth, no shadow. I remember the lights, and I remember the lights in Charivarik as I stood behind, again, the same way, an Indian standing behind the hitman that was trying to kill Walter Matthau. Funny story. No shadows. True. Peter says here, there is no shadows in what I mean. This is the absolute verified truth. Upon truth, I say this to you. I thoroughly perceive, that God is not a respecter of persons. That God is not a respecter of persons. Now, you have to realize where Peter's coming from. Peter has been raised and taught that the Jewish people are the elect of God and that they are God's special people, which they are, except part of that covenant is conditional and part of it is unconditional. The millennial reign over here is unconditional covenant. God promised Abraham, and he promised Jacob, and he promised David, promised them that they would not be a, that someday that upon this earth, epites geis, el haaretz, upon this earth, Israel with a king of Israel will rule for 1,000 years. That's unconditional. But now the conditional part of that is that if Israel would accept their Messiah, the millennium would have come in right here. There. But they rejected the Messiah and king and murdered him. And they also said to Pontius Pilate said, I wash this man, I am innocent of this man's blood. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And it has been for 2,000 years. the conditional part of it. They were thrown out into the world. They should have ceased to exist. Except for God's promise to David and Abraham, they wouldn't. Upon this truth, upon my truth and honor, upon my honor, upon my word and honor, I perceive that God is not a respecter of the face of men. Verse number 35, all in ponti ethne ho phobumenos, auton kai ergazomenos, diakinosine, dektos auto esten. But in every nation, in every ethnic background, the one fearing him and the one working righteousness is acceptable. He is acceptable to God. He's acceptable to him. Acceptable. Righteousness. Jesus Christ died for our sins and was raised for our justification. Acceptables. Dektos is the word. We get that word dexteria. Dektos is acceptable, is handleable. It is, can be in your hand. Today I preached here in this little auditorium, and sat right there was an 88-year-old Roman Catholic. And he heard the gospel that he had never heard before in his life, and after that message he got down on his knees and asked God to forgive him and save him, save his soul, because of what Jesus did. He no longer had to go to any priest. The Jews no longer had to go to the temple every year and make a sacrifice for their sins on the day of Yom Kippur, the atonement, because Jesus is our atonement. You don't need a priest. You don't need Mary. You don't need Charles Taze Russell. You don't need Joseph Smith to lead you to God. There is one man between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ, our brother, our God. That's our Goel, our Redeemer. Verse number 36, ton logon hon apestelen tois vios Israele euangelium zomenos urenein dia Isu Christo hutos esten ponton curios. The word which he sent by authority. That's where we get our word apostolo from, apostle. He sent with authority to the sons, the heirs of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. This one, he is of all the Lord. He is the Lord God of heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that which holds everything together, according to Colossians, the first chapter. Jesus Christ, by his word and his power, holds the whole world in existence. He held the worlds in existence from eternity past. John 1:1 says, "En arche, ein ho logos, kai ho logos, ein proston theon, kai ho logos, ein theos." In beginning kept on being the Word, the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. Because the Jehovah kept on being God. The word logos there, or word, is Jehovah. That's the word that replaces Ha-Dabar, Ha-Hashem in Hebrew. It's a Hebraism. Our God always existed. Jesus always existed in eternity past, but in time and space, he humbled himself and became. He wore human flesh that would hunger, that would be cold, that would be hot. A human that could be hurt by the words of others and by stones and by lashes and by rods and by nails and by hate and mistreatment. Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, O my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so from me, so far from me? Because of our sins, Jesus was dying on the cross of Calvary. Every time anybody ever cut a little lamb's throat, from the time of the first sacrifice just outside the Garden of Eden until the last ones that were throats were cut on the day that, of the week that Jesus was crucified, represented him and him only. The innocent dying for the guilty, and we are the guilty and he is the innocent. He is Lord of all. Verse number 31, he may zoidate to genomenon rema kath holes tes udeas arkasomenos apo tes galileas meth to baptisma ho ekrixa evanes. And ye understand, you completely understand, the one having become, and the word, the indicts, according to all of Judea, having begun from Galilee with a baptism which John proclaimed, the baptism because of repentance. You repent and believe, and then you're baptized. Because you're laying down the old man and picking up the brand new man in Christ. You've got a brand new birth certificate when you've been born again. You may have been born in 1932 or 1945 or 1960 or 70 or 80 or 90. But when you're born again, you've got a brand new birth certificate signed with gold, pure signature of God Himself in Jesus' blood. Esu ton apo Nazareth ho ekrisen auto ho theos numate hagio kai dyname hos dielthain yo ergeton kai eomenos pontos tos kara dina mos tas du simonos apo tu diabolu hote ho theos en meth auto a long verse. Jesus, the one from Nazareth, how he anointed him, the God, with the Holy Spirit and power, who went throughout doing good and curing all the ones being oppressed by the agency of the devil, because of God, he kept on being with him. The old Diabolos. Diabolos. Diabolos means to destroy. His name in the beginning was Hillel, the light carrier. Jerome named him Lucifer in the Latin Vulgate. He was a light carrier. And then he became the son of darkness, the father of darkness, the spirit of darkness. Every false religion in the world was founded by a spirit of adultery, of the spirit of error. Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Charles Taze Russell, every one of these people, Mary Baker Eddy, all these people that founded these religions so far away from God, Buddha, with a spirit, a deceiving spirit, the spirit leading ones astray and holding them in captivity in false religion. Religion has damned more people than anything else in the world. Religion has caused more war than any other cause and purpose in the world. Not one time did the truth ever cause a war. Not once. God's people weren't part of it. Kaihimes materies ponton hon epoi asen en te te ker kora ton udeon kai Jerusalem hon kai anelon kremasantes epi zilu. And I want you to witness all the things which Jesus did in all both the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, in Judea and Jerusalem, whom indeed they killed, having hung upon a tree across a wood, like that, across a wood. Now we could go into that for a long time too. The if you can see over here on this little tiny whiteboard that I have, it used to be blackboard, but now it's whiteboard. When the Romans started crucifying people, by the way, the Ninevites started crucifying. Ninevites, actually, what we call crucifixion, was not crucifixion at that time, but impaling. They would take a person on a sharpened stake and set him right there, and it would go up their innards and go into their body and rupture the inside of their bodies, and that's what happened to Haman over there in the Old Testament. When he tried to have Mordecai impaled, that 75-foot tall scaffold that held a stake on it, they took him up there, they stripped him off, they greased that stake and set them right down, and it went up through their bowels and ruptured, and they screamed and squalled and hollered in pain. Public humiliation to the point of death. Till their organs were ruptured and they died screaming. The Romans said that's a good idea. The word cross comes from the key. That's like the X. It's 10 in Roman numerals, so-called. Roman numerals are actually Greek letters. The key here, that thing, X. They would put one arm here, one arm there, one leg there, one leg there, and nail it to that, and they'd stay there until they died, and they suffocated. Then the Romans, well, and the Iota say, they put their hands up here and their feet down here. They didn't last long with that one either. But then, they devised a masterful plan of how to make somebody live in torture for longer than normal. They took a beam and they took a stake and they put them together. And here they would put a seat so the person could put their butt on that and rest. They'd nail their feet down here to a platform and nail one hand here, or one wrist there and one wrist there. The reason is they could pull themselves up and get a breath. Some people lived in the state of dying on that cross for up to 2 weeks in the state of misery and torture. Not only that, but they would take a rod and put a sponge on the end of it and mix wine with opium, a painkiller, and also something that would relax your bowels. They would dip it in there. Now, this wasn't mercifully. This wasn't mercy. This is so they could live longer in the state of crucifixion. They take it and dip it in this bucket of opium and wine and stick it up there to the mouth, and they would take a drink. Rehydrate just a little bit, pain all the pain just a little bit, and make them live a longer in that state of misery. And the reason for that was a deterrent to crime. By the way, basic human government over here, the basic tenets of human government is the death penalty. If you do something really bad, you need to die. It is not penal. A human government must protect people from the government, and government from the people, and people from people. That's the purpose of government. Now, if it doesn't do that, it's useless. Let's go on a little bit further now. Tuto ho theos anergerin, en te tri te hemera kai edokin auto ephone geneste. This one God he raised up in the third day, and he gave him, made him visible to become to all the people. Over 500 people saw Jesus in one crowd after he was raised. Not only that, but many of the people that had died and buried in the graves opened up and they walked, resurrected throughout the city of Jerusalem. 41. ou pante to lao ala matisen tois pro ke keronto remenos hipo to theo himen oitenes sinafag golmen kai sin etiomen auto medito anastaste auton ek necron. Not to all the people, but witness to the one having been previously appointed by the God to us, who he ate with, or they ate with, and they drank with him after the resurrection out of the dead ones. These were the people that Jesus ate and drank with after the resurrection out of the dead. Kai parangalen himen krexa to lao kai diamaturaste hote hutos esten ho hirismenos hipo tu theu kretes zonton kai necron. And he commanded to us to pray, to cry out, to preach to the people, and to solemnly witness, because this one, he is the one having been dignified, having been designated by God to judge the living and the dead ones. Jesus will be our judge because he's one of us. He is our peer and he is our judge also. Tuto pontes ho profete materiusen aphesen hamarton laben dia tu onomatos auto ponto ton fission ton ace auton. This one, all the prophets witnessed. They witnessed. And they witness. Forgiveness of sins, the sending away of sins, to receive through the name, the onomate, through his authority of him, and all the ones believing in him. Now, the last few verses of this chapter, let's look at that. Eti lalontos to petru ta remata tauto epempse to numa to hagio epi pontos tus akuontes ton logon. And while Peter was yet speaking the words these, it fell upon them the Holy Spirit, all the ones hearing the statement, the word, the sermon. Kai ekstason, hoi ek peri tomes, pistoi hosoi sin elthen to petru ho hoti kai epi to ethne he doria tu nomatos tu hagio eke keptae. And they were all struck out of their senses. They were in ecstasy. Ekestason. They were all struck out of their senses. The ones out of the circumstances, out of the circumcision, that is, the faithful ones, as many as they accompanied Peter. They were all Jews. They were all of the circumcision. Now they're going to get surprised here, because God is favoring the Gentiles. He's turning to the dogs. And the Gentiles, or the Jews, are turning into dogs. Those that accompanied Peter, these are the members of the church where he was. The church down there on the Mediterranean. Now he's going to ask them a question. They're going to represent that church. And he's going to ask them a question. He's going to ask them to take a boat. The representatives of that church that came with him to found this new church. Peter didn't know what he's doing, but things are working out. God's revealing to him what's going on. And also upon the nations, the Jews, the gift of these Gentiles, the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon them. ekousen gar alto la lonton, glossias kai mega lonton ton theon tote epikrite petros. And they kept on hearing them speaking in languages and magnifying God. Then Peter answered, and Peter made a statement, was called to make a statement. He's asking the church to vote. The church is going to vote to baptize all these people. And the church is going to vote to establish a new little ecclesia in this area in Caesarea. And then he says, Mete to heder dinate kolosoi tis tu me baptistane tutos ointenes to numato hagio elabon hos kai hemes. Now he asked them a question. He asked them to vote. He said, we are not able to forbid these to be immersed and baptized. For the Holy Spirit, they have received just like we did in the same manner. And verse number 48, he says, Prosethesen de autos en to onomate Jesu Christu baptistane tote eroteson auton epimene hemeras tinas. And he commanded then them by the authority of Jesus Christ, which was in that church, to be immersed, to be baptized. Then they interrogated them to remain some days. Then they requested them to remain days with them and get them founded in the truth. What is the truth? Now let's go back and read this up here to where we are in verse number 48 from the Amplified Bible. Verse number 33 says, so at once I sent for you, and you being a Jew have done a kind and courteous and handsome thing in coming. Now then, we are all present in the sight of God to listen to all that you have to be in, have been instructed by the Lord to say to us. And Peter opened his mouth and said, most certainly and thoroughly, I now perceive and understand that God shows no partiality and is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he who venerates and has reverent fear of God, treating him with worshipful obedience and living uprightly and acceptable to him and sure of being received and welcomed by him, can be sure of being received and welcomed by him. Be sure of it. You know the contents of the message which he sent to Israel, announcing the good news, the gospel of the peace of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all things and all people. The same message which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism of John. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How did he went about doing good, and in particular, curing all that were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. For God was with him. And we are eye and ear witnesses of everything. We are expert witnesses of everything that he both did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, and yet they put him out of the way, murdered him by hanging him upon a tree. But God raised him up to life on the third day and caused him to be manifested and to be plainly seen. Not by all the people, but to us who were chosen, designated beforehand by God as a witness, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he charged us to preach the people to the people and to bear solemn testimony that he is the God appointed and God ordained judge of the living and the dead. And to whom all the prophets testify and bear witness that everyone who believes in him, who adheres to and trusts in and relies upon him, giving himself up to him, receive forgiveness of sin through his name or by agency of his name, by the authority of his name. While Peter was still speaking the words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all the ones who were listening into the message. These were all Gentiles, people. These were all dogs. These were those that were no people, that had a no God. And while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and the believers from among the circumcised, the Jews, who came with Peter. This is from that church, representative of that church up there. With Peter, were surprised and amazed because the free gift of the Holy Spirit had been bestowed and poured out largely even upon the Gentiles. For they heard them talking in languages and extolling and magnifying God. And Peter said, he asked for a vote. Can anybody forbid them to be baptized now? Can you make any excuse as the church up there to not baptize these people? Can anyone forbid or refuse water for baptizing these people, seeing that they have received the Holy Spirit just in the same way and manner as we did? And he offered that they be baptized. He ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And then they begged him to stay on with them for several days. Tell us more about what we're supposed to be doing for Jesus. What are we supposed to do for Jesus? We're supposed to witness for him. We're supposed to tell everybody how God saved us and that he will save them. Tell them about God's plan of the ages. How that he progressively witnessed to and revealed to mankind the final purpose that his son, God's son, would come into this world. Galatians 4, at the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those, all of us, that were condemned under the law. The law only brought death. Jesus Christ brings life eternal. You have the story of Jesus. The story of salvation. The story of your salvation and your birth, if you believe. We're born first into the world. We're born of sin. We're born in sin by the blood of our Father. And if we're born again from above, we're born with the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sins and saves our souls to the uttermost. Our Father, we send this message out for you, for your honor, for your glory. I pray if there's one out there that doesn't know that you will touch their hearts, convict their hearts, that they'll call upon you this moment to save their souls and forgive them of their sins. And those that are saved out there that you've given to me as students all over the world, I pray for all of them. That you touch them, that you anoint them with a power to speak boldly.